Message 2 is entitled Preaching the Gospel of the Kingdom, Gaining People for the Kingdom, and Producing the Churches the Kingdom of God. Amen. Roman numeral 1. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole inhabited earth for a testimony to all the nations before the end of this age. Amen. There is an intrinsic link between this point and the last Roman numeral point of the previous message, which says the Lord's present charge to us should be go and teach the nations the truths of the Lord's recovery, that the present age may be consummated. The link is that the gospel of the kingdom is nothing less than the truths of the Lord's recovery. Amen. And that preaching the gospel of the kingdom to bring in the end of this age is equivalent to teaching and presenting the truths of the Lord's recovery to consummate this age. Amen. Well, dear saints, the gospel of the kingdom is the gospel of the eternal economy of God, which has Christ as its center, the body of Christ as its line, and the New Jerusalem as its consummate goal. Amen. So, Christ as the center is the reality of the kingdom of the heavens. The body of Christ as the line is the enlargement of the kingdom of the heavens. And the New Jerusalem as the goal of God's economy is the eternal kingdom of God. Amen. So the gospel of the kingdom, understood in this light, encompasses all the divine truths concerning God's eternal economy, unveiled in the scriptures and recovered by the Lord among us. Well, a number of years ago, in my regular reading of the New Testament, of the Gospel of Matthew, I began to be deeply impressed with a particular phrase the Lord Jesus spoke at least 4 times. And actually, this gospel ends with this phrase, the consummation of the age. Behold, I am with you all the days until the consummation of the age. Well, the phrase, the consummation of the age, refers to the end of this age, which is the time of the Lord's second coming. The Lord's second coming is a great landmark in God's eternal economy. It marks the greatest dispensational change in which the overcoming believers who live in the reality of the kingdom of the heavens in this age will enter into the manifestation of the kingdom of the heavens in the coming age, which will be the New Jerusalem in the millennium. Amen. So the expression, the consummation of the age, implies the Lord's desire and determination to produce the overcomers as his dispensational instrument to terminate this age of grace and to bring in the age of the kingdom. Amen. When we see this, a spontaneous prayer will rise up. O Lord Jesus, consummate this age. Amen. This age has gone on too long. Bring an end to this age. Amen. Bring in the kingdom age. Amen. Well, if we see the importance of the consummation of the age, we may ask the Lord Jesus, as the disciples did in Matthew 24:3, what is the sign of your coming and of the consummation of the age? The Lord gave a long and detailed answer to this question, which occupies chapters 24 and 25. But in 24:14, the Lord presented the most prevailing sign of the consummation of the age, saying, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in the whole inhabited earth, and then the end shall come. The most important sign of the consummation of the age is not the emergence of the revitalized Roman Empire in Europe, nor the rise of the Antichrist as the last Caesar of the Roman Empire, nor the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. The most important sign of the consummation of the age is the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom to every corner of this earth. Well, brothers and sisters, we need to realize that the gospel of the kingdom, which includes The gospel of grace brings people not only into God's salvation, but also into the kingdom of the heavens. It's very interesting that in Acts 20, Paul says that one of his commission was to testify of the grace of God. And in the immediately following verse, he spoke of proclaiming the kingdom of God. This indicates the gospel of the kingdom includes the gospel of grace. Right? The gospel of grace emphasizes forgiveness of sin, God's redemption, and eternal life. Why are we saved from our past? Why are we cleansed from our sins? Why are we redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Why have we received the divine life of God? It is for us to be saved into the kingdom of God and live in the kingdom of God. The gospel of the kingdom emphasizes the heavenly ruling of God and the authority of the Lord. Well, brothers and sisters, a fundamental problem in this universe is that both Satan and man rebelled against God's authority, thereby becoming rebels against God's throne. So the earth is filled with sons of disobedience that deny God's right to rule over them. But praise the Lord, God has a kingdom called the gospel of the kingdom, through which he would like to bring fallen human beings under his heavenly rule and under the authority of his Christ. And this point is well illustrated in the last three verses of the Gospel of Matthew. The book entitled Christ versus Religion points out, after resurrecting from the dead, a mountain in Galilee, the Lord didn't give the disciples 3-week conference, but 3-verse conference, telling them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore, disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Spirit, the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you all the days until the consummation of the age. Saints, we need to remember 4 verbs. Go. Disciple. Baptize. Teach. And we will behold something marvelous. Right? First, we need to realize all authority in heaven and earth has been invested with the God-man Jesus, the resurrected Son of Man. And this Son of Man tells us to go with his authority. That means he has passed on his great authority to us. Brothers and sisters, we can go with the highest authority in the universe. Amen. The authority of the Lord of heaven and of earth. Amen. And we need to go. Amen. On the one hand, we need to come to the Lord to eat and drink of him. But we also need to go into all the creation. We need to go forth to bear much fruit. Amen. And when we go to these Gentiles, we not just beg them to receive salvation, we issue a royal edict. Right? Inwardly, although we speak in a gentle spirit, but we fully realize, repent! This is an executive order from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Amen. I'm issuing an order from the heavenly Washington, D.C. How wonderful this is, brothers and sisters. Then, we need to disciple the nations. To disciple the nation is to make the heathen proper subjects of the kingdom of the heavens, which is the church on the earth today. There is a difference between disciples and the believers. The believers are those who have received the salvation. The disciples are those who have been disciplined, ruled, and trained to submit to God's rule. And Bradley gave 3 wonderful practices of the disciples. First, they live a life as an anti-testimony to the world, a counterexample against the present evil age. Second, their living and walk influences others to be subject to Christ. 3, they must do all things they can and spend all that they have to preach the gospel, to bring people under the authority of the gospel, and make them the Lord's disciples. And these disciples realize that the Lord desires that we would sweat for the gospel, shed our blood for the gospel, and pour out all that we can and have on the gospel. Brothers and sisters, we need to pray, Lord, make me a bona fide disciple of Jesus.
Amen.
And flow through me to produce many others as the disciples of Jesus.
Amen.
Acts 6:7 says, the word of God grew, and the number of the disciples in Jerusalem multiplied greatly. In preparation for the meeting, there was a prayer within me. Lord, may your word grow in Southern California.
Amen.
And throughout the whole earth. And may the number of your disciples multiply greatly.
Amen.
In Southern California and throughout the whole earth.
Amen.
Then we can baptize the newly saved believers into the processed and consummated triune God.
Amen.
Bringing them into an organic union with the triune God.
Amen.
That they may be saturated and mingled with Him. Then we need to teach them all that the Lord has commanded us. According to the ministry, this means we need to present the newly saved believers the apostles' teaching, which is the entire speaking of God in the New Testament. And this implies that we need to bring them to our small group meeting and teach them the truth concerning God's eternal economy. Now, if we go, if we disciple, if we baptize, and if we teach, we will enjoy the Lord's indwelling presence.
Amen.
Why is it that there is deficiency in our enjoyment of the pneumatic Christ in our spirit? Maybe this is because we have not been so faithful to visit and contact sinners, discipling them by bringing them under the Lord's authority, immersing them into the triune God, and teaching them the truth concerning God's eternal economy. But as many saints in the previous meeting have testified, each time we visit the Gentiles, disciple them, baptize them, and teach them the truths concerning God's economy, we enter into the sevenfold enjoyment of the presence of the Lord as Emmanuel.
Amen.
His presence is so dear, so watering, so nourishing. His presence means everything to us. If we are faithful to go to the Gentiles, disciple them, baptize them, and teach them, we will eventually consummate this age.
Amen.
At which point, we will enjoy His precious presence to a fuller degree, seeing our dear Lord Jesus face to face. Okay, C, this testimony must spread to the whole earth before the end of this age, the time of the great tribulation. Okay, when the gospel of the kingdom is preached to the whole inhabited earth, the overcoming believers are raptured and the time of the great tribulation begins. This means, brothers and sisters, when the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom to the whole inhabited earth is completed, the overcomers will be raptured to the throne of God. Only those who have been faithful to preach the gospel of the kingdom will escape the hour of trial, the great tribulation, and stand before the Son of Man. Otherwise, the defeated believers will be left on the earth to pass through the great tribulation, to ripen and grow with the help of the suffering of the tribulation. What a sober warning. D, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole inhabited earth to gain people out of every tribe, out of every tongue, out of every people, and every nation. If my memory serves correctly, in a book called The One New Man, our brother points out the very fact that the Apostle John wrote that the kingdom of God is composed not only of the Jews, but people of every tongue, tribe, people, and nation, indicates that our brother was saved from his racial bias for Jews and against the Gentiles. May we see that the kingdom of God is composed of people out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. Amen. May the Lord rescue us from every form of racial, ethnic, and national prejudice. Okay. D, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole inhabited earth to gain people out of every tribe, every tongue, every people, and every nation. I already covered this. Now, let's go to point D. I believe that the churches in the Lord's recovery will bear the burden to bring this gospel to the inhabited earth. The gospel of the kingdom is the higher gospel. This gospel will be brought to every continent through the churches in the Lord's recovery. The New Testament ministry began with the proclamation of the John the Baptist saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens is drawn near." The Lord Jesus continued this by proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom himself. Then he instructed his disciples in his earthly ministry to preach the gospel of the kingdom to the Jews. Then, after his resurrection, according to Matthew 28 and Acts 1, he charged the disciples to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom to the Gentiles. Amen. And the apostles, such as James, Peter, Paul, and John, all faithfully declared and proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom. Now the torch has come to us. The commission to preach the gospel of the kingdom has come to the saints in the Lord's recovery. Amen. We cannot help but speak what we have seen and heard. To whom much is given, much is required. We cannot deny to a certain extent that we have seen and heard the gospel of the kingdom. So we must joyfully and solemnly bear the responsibility to preach the gospel of the kingdom to whole inhabited earth. Amen. Now, in order for us to do this, there are three matters that we need to do. First, we need to know the gospel of the kingdom. For this, we need to read and pray read the Bible that unveils this gospel and the ministry that interprets the Bible. Second, we need to live according to the gospel of the kingdom. We need to pray, "Lord, turn me from darkness to light, from the authority of Satan to God, so that I may be one with you to turn many others from darkness to light and from the authority of Satan to God." Well, Sister Peace Wang was such a person who turned many from the authority of Satan to God. She grew up in the early 20th century in mainland China with parents who were upper class. Her father was a mayor of one of the cities in one of the provinces in China. After experiencing dynamic salvation, she decided to give her whole life to the Lord to serve as a full-time gospel preacher. And this greatly upset her parents. On the day that she left home to live by faith to preach the gospel, her parents, with tears, pleaded with her, "You don't love your mother. You don't love your father. You only want your Jesus." And she also cried. But those tears did not dissuade her from changing her mind. And as a result, hundreds of people were brought to the Lord through our sister's gospel preaching. She is the fulfillment of the Lord's word in Luke 19, which says, "If anyone does not hate his father or mother or his soul life, he cannot be my disciple." She was truly a disciple of the Lord Jesus. On a fateful day ordained by the Lord in April 1925, Sister Peace Wang preached the gospel in Chifu to a crowd more than 1,000. Among them was a young man, a teenager, who heard the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. That human beings must be saved from the tyranny of Satan in the world, signified by the slavery of Pharaoh in Egypt. He was released from Satan's dominion and gave his whole life to follow the Lord and serve the Lord. In turn, he turned many, including those of us in this room, from the authority of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Amen. Okay, lastly, we need to announce the gospel of the kingdom. Well, saints, Brother Lee once said that when he was a young person, an experienced Christian told him, in order to maintain a balanced Christian life, every day you need to spend 10 minutes allowing the Lord to speak to you, 10 minutes speaking to the Lord, another 10 minutes speaking to the believers, and yet another 10 minutes speaking to the unbelievers. Well, brothers and sisters, let us ask a heart-searching question. Do we spend even 10 minutes to the sinners every week, much less every day? For this reason, the ministry has helped us. We need to make a vow to spend at least 2 or 3 hours every week to contact people, to shepherd them, to nourish them, to preach the gospel to them, so that they may be brought into the heavenly kingdom. And I'd like to conclude my presentation by reading this excerpt, which Bradley spoke immediately after quoting Matthew 24:14. This means we must do everything we can do to spread the gospel. We must spend every cent and every drop of our sweat, tears, and blood on the gospel. Only this will satisfy the Lord and take care of his gospel. Shouldn't we pray? Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. Grant us to do everything we can to spread the gospel, spending every cent and every drop of our sweat, tears, and blood on the gospel, so that we may satisfy you and take care of your gospel. Are we sitting still, not willing to be on fire for the gospel? If we are, how can we give an account to the Lord? I believe one day, when we stand before the judgment seat of the Lord, he will ask us, "What was your attitude toward my gospel?" He will tell us, "He had given us a talent, but how did we use it? How much did we use it? How many people did we bring to the Lord? How many people did we nourish and care for? How many people did we teach?" In the future, we will need to answer these questions one by one. May the Lord grace us all to be faithful disciples of Jesus, who preach the gospel of the kingdom to the whole inhabited earth, to bring an end to this age, and to bring in the age of the kingdom. When we will see the name of Jehovah is excellent over all the earth, when Jehovah and he alone will be king over all the earth.
The strongest sign, the most important sign of the consummation of the age is the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. Saints, this is the strongest sign. Amen. The most important sign is the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. I'd like to continue, as my brother began, by linking Roman numeral 1 with Roman numeral 2. In Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole inhabited earth for a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. In this verse, I'd like to emphasize the word gospel of the kingdom, whole inhabited earth, and the word testimony. When did the gospel of the kingdom begin to be preached in the whole inhabited earth for a testimony? After the Lord spoke these words in his resurrection, he breathed himself into the disciples. In Acts chapter 1, it says, before the Lord ascended, before he poured out the Spirit, he appeared to the disciples over a period of 40 days. This is Acts 1:3. And he spoke the things concerning the kingdom of God. For 40 days, the Lord spoke to the disciples concerning the kingdom of God. So the gospel of the kingdom was spoken to these disciples. Then in Acts 1:8, he told his disciples, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." What is a witness? A witness is one who bears a testimony. That's what the Lord told us, is that these ones would have a testimony. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached for a testimony. Not just to speak some words, but to live a kind of life. In the footnote in Acts 1:8, it tells us, what is a witness? A witness is literally a martyr. Those who bear a living testimony of the resurrected and ascended Christ in life. Today, this is what the Lord needs. The Lord needs witnesses. And these witnesses, where were they sent? In Matthew 24, it says that they should go to the whole inhabited earth. In Acts 1:8, it says that they would go to Jerusalem, where they were, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. The fulfillment of Matthew 24:14 began to be carried out in Acts chapter 1. And I'd just like to share a little bit about these witnesses. Southern California is probably about as far as you can get from Jerusalem. The Lord said that you would be my witnesses unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He was in Jerusalem when he said that. Where are we tonight? At the uttermost parts of the earth. To us, we feel that we're in the center of the planet. But according to Acts, this is the uttermost parts of the earth. And I'd just like to ask you, how did we receive the gospel of the kingdom? Why are we here tonight? Because there was one who was a faithful witness, who left his home, who left his country, who left his language, his culture, and came to be a witness to us. He changed his name to witness because that's what he was. He was a faithful witness to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And that's why we are here tonight. The question the Lord has for us is, would we be the same? Would we also be faithful witnesses to what we have seen? A witness is someone who testifies what they have seen. In his ascension, Christ would carry out his ministry in the heavens through these martyrs. In his resurrection life and with his ascension power and authority, as recorded in the Acts, to spread himself as the development of the kingdom of God from Jerusalem as a beginning unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The book of Acts shows us witnesses. Peter was such a witness. He was the one living the resurrected and ascended Christ. So in Acts 5:20, the angel came to him in the prison. He said, go and stand in the temple. Speak to the people all the words of this life. That was the life he was living. The divine life. Preached, ministered, and lived by Peter. It was seen by angels. So they said, speak the words of this life. Our being a witness is not just to speak words, but it's to live a life. This is what the Lord is looking for today. So I hope you can see a connection between Matthew 24:14 and the book of Acts. So let's read Roman numeral 2 together. The subject of the book of Acts is the propagation of the resurrected pneumatic Christ in his ascension by the Spirit through the disciples for the producing of the churches, the kingdom of God. I hope this would not just be the subject of Acts. I hope this would be the subject of our Christian life, the subject of our church life, the propagation of the resurrected pneumatic Christ in his ascension by the Spirit through the disciples for the producing of the churches, the kingdom of God. We do well to memorize this, to speak this, to be infused with this. So this is the subject of the book of Acts. Then, in letter A, it says, the Gospels from Matthew through John unveil the completion of Christ. In order to be propagated, first Christ had to be completed. He's the resurrected Christ. He's the ascended Christ. So he passed through a process. And number one, from incarnation to ascension was a long process through which the Son of God, God's anointed one, was completed, fully qualified, and fully equipped. It's so good to consider the Lord's process. This is our gospel, is it not? Incarnation. God became a man. Divinity was mingled with humanity. Human living. No one had ever lived as Jesus had lived before. A life expressing the Father, seeking the Father's glory, speaking the Father's word, doing the Father's work. What a wonderful, beautiful, aromatic God-man. Then this one went to the cross to die an all-inclusive death, terminating every negative thing, everything that kept us from enjoying and contacting God. He resurrected, and in his resurrection, he became the life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
He regenerated his believers.
Amen.
And he was begotten as the firstborn Son of God. But he didn't stop there. He ascended. He ascended to the highest place. Even Hebrews says he ascended above the heavens. He's higher than the heavens. Saints, we have to realize such a Christ is completed. Why is he completed? So that he could get into you and me.
Amen.
We have the completed Christ in our spirit.
Amen.
He's fully qualified. He's fully equipped. So we should not look at ourselves as we consider the gospel. Don't look at our past. Don't look at ourselves. We have to look at this completed Christ. Number two says, now he is in the heavens with all his qualifications to be God's Christ, God's anointed one, to carry out God's eternal commission. He is in the heavens, and at the same time, he is mingled with our spirit. In his heavenly ministry, Christ is more active than he ever was before. More active. He's doing many things. At the end of Acts chapter 7, as Stephen was being stoned, he looked up into heaven and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. The Lord is very active, very burdened for his witnesses. And while Stephen was being stoned, and there was a young man named Saul there, the Lord in heaven was considering what was his next step. He was going to gain this greatest opposer and make him a foremost apostle.
Amen.
The Lord can never be defeated.
Amen.
He's in heaven.
Amen.
Acts 2, 36 says, God made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you have crucified. Saints, I was just freshly touched. Why is he the Lord? He's not just the Lord. We can say, Lord Jesus, Lord, rule over the situation, Lord, my finances, my family. We get a raise. Jesus is Lord. That's not really why he's the Lord. He's the Lord for his propagation. He's ruling over all the situations. We have to believe all those in our families, our co-workers, the students you're sitting next to. Everything has been arranged by the Lord. And he's the Christ. He's the anointed one. He's the one who will carry out this commission. It's not you or I. He is the Christ. He will do it. But he needs to do it through you. It's through disciples that this Christ carries out his propagation. Then I was also enjoying Acts 5:31. He is the leader. This means he's directing the whole world situation. Just consider where your parents were from, where your grandparents were from. How did we get here? It's because he's the leader. He arranged the whole world situation that you could be saved and that you could come into the Lord's recovery. And why is he the leader? So that he could be the Savior. He's the Savior in his ascension. Dear saints, the Lord, the Christ, the leader, the Savior, all of these titles of Christ are revealed in Acts because it is for his propagation that he is these things. In his ascension, he has the highest position. And we are one with him in his ascension. So in B, it says Acts unveils the propagation of the pneumatic Christ, the propagation of the completed Christ as the gospel. He's been completed. He's in us. We're one with him. Now there needs to be a propagation. After the gospels, the completed Christ was preached as the gospel. God's completed Christ is the essence of God's gospel. This is our gospel. We don't have another gospel. We just preach this completed Christ. We preach this processed and consummated triune God. Number three says the gospel of the highest standard is God's completed Christ in God's eternal economy. Number four, Acts shows us that through the preaching of the completed Christ, there was a great propagation. A great propagation. So in letter A, he's been completed. In letter B, there needs to be a propagation. And this certainly involves us. Our lives should be for this propagation. If not, what are we living for? What are we doing here? Our lives must be for the propagation of this resurrected Christ in his ascension. Then we come to the issue. How about let's all read letter C together? The church produced by Christ's propagation and multiplication is the sphere in which God is expressed and in which he reigns in Christ. Hence the church becomes this kingdom of God. So this propagation is to bring in something. It's to bring in the kingdom of God. And it's to bring in the churches. The churches are produced by Christ's propagation. And these churches are the sphere in which God is expressed and in which he reigns in Christ. The church becomes the kingdom of God. We know in Romans 14:17, as Paul was speaking of the church life, he said, the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is. Not the kingdom of God was. Not the kingdom of God will be. But the kingdom of God is. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. This is the church life today. The church life should be the kingdom of God. Number one says the kingdom of God, along with Christ's propagation and multiplication, grows out of and spreads from God's life. In Acts 1:3, the footnote mentions there, the kingdom of God is the spreading of Christ as life to his believers to form a realm in which God rules in his life. This is what the kingdom of God is. When the Lord was on the earth, Luke 17:21, he said, the kingdom of God is among you. He was the kingdom of God. Now, where is he? Through this completing work, he's now dispensed himself into all of us. So we become the kingdom of God. He sowed the seed of the kingdom in the gospels. Now the seed is growing in all of our hearts. May we give him more room that his kingdom could grow. The kingdom of God is a sphere of life produced by the propagation of Christ. We shouldn't just think of authority. We should realize the kingdom is a matter of life. Without the life of God, we can never enter the kingdom of God. Regeneration is our entrance into the kingdom of God. Now, we need to spread this life of God to others to bring in the kingdom of God. 2 says, Acts is a record of the spreading of Christ. It is also a record of the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is the expansion of Christ. The book of Acts begins with the kingdom of God. Acts 1:3, the Lord spoke concerning the kingdom of God. And if you look at the last verse of Acts, tells us our brother Paul, for 2 years, what did he do? He had his own rented dwelling, and he proclaimed the kingdom of God, teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness, unhindered. Unhindered. We need to proclaim the kingdom of God with all boldness, unhindered. Number 3, the gospel that is widely preached in this book is the very Christ as the gospel of Christ, and it is also the kingdom of God as the gospel. The gospel of the kingdom of God. Throughout this book, the kingdom of God is mentioned. In 8:12, Philip says he announced the gospel of the kingdom of God. Many times when I come to the prayer meeting, I'm burdened to pray for the Lord's kingdom to come. I don't know if that's a prayer that you often pray in the prayer meeting. Lord, your kingdom come. Lord, your will be done. In Riverside, wherever you are, you should pray that. But I'm touched in this outline. How can we bring in the kingdom of God? It's by preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. Don't just pray for the kingdom to come. You need to. We need to pray. But after you pray, we need to go. We need to speak this gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom comes by the propagation of this resurrected and ascended Christ. Amen. So let's conclude with reading number 4, and then our brother will continue. The preaching of such a gospel.
Now we come to Roman numeral 3. And I would like to follow the line of our, my brothers concerning not only the content of the outline, but also the intrinsic burden that all these outlines have and the whole conference have. We are gathering this blending conference in this weekend because God has a need. Amen. The Lord has a need. Amen. What is the need? Is the general subject of the conference. The primary need for increase in the Lord's recovery. Amen. Dear saints in Southern California, we need to realize that the Lord wants the increase in the churches. The Lord is not content. The Lord is not happy. You know why we are not fully happy, even though we are in the Lord's recovery and in the churches? Because the Lord is not happy. In this Roman numeral 3 says, the spreading of the truths of the Lord's recovery will be the preparation for the Lord's coming back to bring the recovery and restoration not only to Israel, but also to the entire creation. Amen. Dear saints, we have a responsibility. We need to pick up our responsibility. As I was preparing for this portion of the message, I had to go back to the book of Revelations, as we will read in a couple of minutes. And I had to testify to you that I was, before this, I was not impressed how crucial is the gospel for the Lord to come back. Dear saints, that even the driving force of all the events in the world is the gospel. Everything happens on earth because of the gospel. Dear saints, Matthew 24:14 speak about the nations. Matthew 28:19 speaks about the nations. Matthew 19:28 speak about the Jews. And Isaiah 11:9 speaks about the whole earth filled with the knowledge of Jehovah. What is the knowledge of Jehovah? The truth that he has entrusted to us in the Lord's recovery. But saints, we need to see that the driving force is the gospel. And in the same way, and I'm not prophesying here in the Old Testament way, I'm prophesying in the New Testament way. In the same way, the gospel of the kingdom was spread throughout the whole Roman Empire in less than 100 years. In less than 100 years, the whole entire empire was filled with the gospel of the kingdom. Even some say, I'm not there to say that this is a fact, but many of you know that some say that even some of the disciples went to India to preach the gospel. What was the driving force to these men that risked their lives, abandoned everything to spread this gospel? Why? Because they wanted to make the Lord's come back. Amen. They wanted to be those who bring the Lord back. Amen. Letter A. Immediately after Christ's ascension, these four things, the gospel, war, famine, and death, began to run like riders on four horses, and they will continue until Christ comes back. We don't have the time to read the verses, but probably all of you have read these four horses and with the riders. Those riders are not actually people. These riders personify things. The red horse and the rider personifies war. The black personifies famine, and the pale personifies death. But what the white gospel, I mean the white horse and his rider personifies the gospel.
Amen.
The gospel. So the gospel is always running ahead, and all these things come behind. That's been proven time after time in history. Even I can testify that I have some experience like that. In three occasions, I have been in a place, and Brother Albert was with me in one of these times, and we just left that country, and the next day, an earthquake happened in that country. Recently, I was in a country again. And when I arrived, what was the news? The whole city was flooded by water, something that didn't happen since 1985. Do you think that this is just coincidence? No. All these calamities follow the gospel. Dear saints, we need to realize that we here in Southern California, we have a responsibility. Number one, the spreading, running, and raising of the gospel of the kingdom throughout the whole inhabited earth is the kernel of the divine history within the human history. This means that intrinsically, in the human history, the hidden God is carrying out his economy. Number two, the gospel of the kingdom, signified by the white horse of the first seal in Revelation 6, 1 and 2, will be preached in the whole inhabited earth for the testimony to all the nations before the end of this age, the time of the great tribulation. My brother Daniel shared that here in Southern California, from Jerusalem perspective, we are the outermost part of the earth, right? But I'm going to continue in that line, because we were commissioned to preach the gospel to the nations. And in the footnote, in Matthew 24:14, the footnote broadly shares that the nations equals people. Nations equal people. And in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 5, let me read it quickly, because I want to impress you with this burden. Acts chapter 2, verse 5. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under the earth. Saints, we in Southern California are in the same situation. Here in Southern California, you may say, oh, may the Lord raise up saints to go to the other nations and preach the gospel. We need to pray that. We have saints going to Germany. We have saints going to Europe. But dear saints, in the same way, the Lord answer our praying, bringing the Middle Eastern people to Europe, and now we are preaching the gospel to them. The Lord has brought the same people and all the nations to Southern California. You have people from nations in your neighborhood. You have people from the nations in your work. You have people from the nations in your family. Even in your family. Lord, dear saints, I want to impress you. Some may need to go other places, but we have the nations in our backyard. We need to pick up the responsibility. We have the nations in our backyard, in our front yard. We are surrounded by the nations. What do we have here in this meeting hall tonight? We have the nations. Praise the Lord for the gospel of the kingdom that needs to be preached to all the nations. Dear saints, this conference is not simply for us to pick up some point of truth concerning the gospel. No, we need to pick up the intrinsic burden of this conference. The intrinsic burden of this conference is that the Lord has a need. What is the need? He needs to build up the church as the body of Christ. But in order to do that, we need to preach the gospel to the unbelievers. And also to the unlearned. Because he wants all men to be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. There are many that have been saved already, but need to come to the full knowledge of the truth. That's why we're here this weekend. Let it be. We are not preaching a partial gospel, but the full gospel. that encompasses everything from Matthew through Revelation. The gospel of eternal economy, to dispense himself in Christ as the Spirit into his chosen ones through his judicial redemption and by his organic salvation for the building up of the body, of his body in the local churches to consummate the New Jerusalem as his bride, his wife, for his eternal expression. Dear saints, we have, I think, 50 so churches in Southern California. Dear saints, I want to bring this matter to you. Are you happy that we only have 52 churches in Southern California? Do you think that the Lord is pleased with only have churches in 52 cities? Dear saints, the Lord wants to spread the church through all Southern California. May the Lord raise lampstands in every city of Southern California. But then, saints, we need to rise up. We need to rise up and recover the feeling, the burden, and the fire of those dear believers of the first century that in less than 100 years, they spread this recovery. They spread the churches all over the empire. Lord Jesus, burden us. Burden us with what is in your heart. The only way for the church to be produced is through the preaching of the gospel. Let us see. Actually, the gospel includes all the divine truth. The entire New Testament is the gospel. And the New Testament, as the gospel, is typified by the Old Testament. Thus, we may say that the gospel includes the entire Bible. One of the brothers in the previous message said that the whole Bible is the gospel. It is true. And the gospel is preached since the book of Genesis. And God was the first preacher of the gospel. Genesis chapter 3. He came, in a very normal way. We need to learn the patterns. Look how the Lord came to Eve and Adam and Eve. He didn't came like a thunder. He came very spontaneous, very normal. Hey, what are you? Don't you think that the Lord knew where were they? Of course they knew. But he was coming in a very normal way. Where are you? Oh, we were hiding because we were naked. Who taught you that? Don't you think the Lord knew it? No, but he's preparing the thing in order for them to confess. The same way the Lord dealt with the Samaritan woman in chapter 4 of John. Help her to confess. Now God helped Adam and Eve to confess. And in Genesis 3:15, he preached the gospel to them. He said, "Your seed will bruise the head of the serpent." Amen. What a gospel. Amen. This is the high gospel. So, dear saints, letter D, God's unique purpose in this age is to have the gospel preached so that the church, as the body of Christ, might be built up to consummate the New Jerusalem. Dear saints, everything on earth, on the earth today, is for the preaching of the gospel. Everything. Airplanes are for the preaching of the gospel. Texting is for the preaching of the gospel. Emailing for the preaching of the gospel. Videos for the preaching of the gospel. The internet is not for what the devil is using it. It's for the preaching of the gospel. The saints, we need to rise up. In Southern California. Oh, may the Lord grant us to pick up the burden of this conference. Where am I? Oh, letter E. The overcomers who preach the gospel of the glory of Christ become the riders of the white horse. Praise the Lord for Revelation 19, 11, and 13, and 14, that the overcomers join the Lord in his return. But I want to impress you with something. Do you know what was the tool that the Lord used to destroy his enemy? It was a sword coming out of his mouth. What is the sword? The sword is the word of God. Even the Lord will destroy his enemy with the word, with the preaching of the word. Dear saints, we need to rise up, and from today and on, be one with the Lord in order for him to have his desire here in Southern California. Letter F. May the Lord burden us to learn the divine truths of the gospel and to spread them everywhere for his recovery, to bring in his restoration. And we have to do it in a very spontaneous way. And we need to speak this in a very normal way. Something that I have been practicing recently even before the Chinese speaking conference on the gospel, I've been practicing this. When I'm in a place and someone asks me something, I speak to them like if I were speaking to a saint. When they ask, "What do you do?" they say, "Oh, what do you do for a living?" "Oh, I just speak the word of God." And then they ask me, "Oh, are you a preacher?" "No, I'm not a preacher." "Oh, you are a missionary?" "No, I'm not a missionary. I'm just a person who speaks the word of God." Do you want to hear something? Do you know that you are a vessel? People are just waiting there. The trainees in the Middle East training hear this testimony. I'm going to give it to you in a nutshell. Brother Albert and I were in a particular place with our wives having lunch. But they took so long. So I decided to stand up and go to the waitress and tell her, "What's going on with the food?" She said to me, "Oh, it's because we start everything from fresh and scratch, so nothing is preheated or warm up. Everything is..." While I was talking to her, the owner came. And then we start to talk. And then the matter of God came up. And he said, "Oh, you are a person who loves God." I said, "Yes, me too," he said. "He said, oh, you're a believer?" "Yes, but I don't meet with anyone." To make this story short, because we were not in Southern California, I told him, "Do you want to be contacted?" He said, "Yes, I want to be contacted because I want more of that." I came to the seat. I sat down. 10 minutes later, when we were eating, the owner came and told me, "Don't forget, you need to put me in contact with someone who speaks the same things that you're speaking." We did it. 2 weeks later, I received a picture from this person and two brothers when he was calling on the name of the Lord. The story doesn't end there. 2 weeks after, I received another text. You see the texts, texting for the gospel. I received another text, "Brother Victor, The name of the brother is Ricardo. His last name is Gonzalez." He said, "Ricardo Gonzalez was baptized last night." What is the point? The Lord used anything, even the matter that the food was not ready. The food was not ready because the Lord wanted to save Ricardo. Dear saints, we need to pick up the burden and speak this gospel and this truth everywhere. Amen. How about if all read Roman numeral 4, the sisters, letter A, brothers B, and all together C. altogether, we need to pick up. Brothers,
I am deeply burdened by the fact that many who love the Lord Jesus have been deceived and frustrated. We must find a way to share with them the spiritual riches the Lord has provided us. Many who truly love the Lord are starving. We must take up burdens to supply them with food. We all need to be good ministers.
All the saints, let us all be filled with the riches of the past New Testament economy and then carry out the burden of God's economy positively and aggressively. We all can become aggressive if we are filled and saturated. I hope that in the coming years, there will be a great increase for the Lord's purpose. May they be your dear friends. Dear saints, there's the need of a real stirring up in Southern California. I finish with this verse in Acts 17:6. This is when Paul and his companions went to Thessalonica. Acts 17:6 says, the unbeliever says, those who upset the world have come to this place. Dear saints, we are supposed to upset every city in Southern California. We need to ask before the Lord seriously, has our city been upset by the gospel of the kingdom? This small company of brothers in 3 weeks raised up a church in Thessalonica. We have the same gospel. How about if we pray two by two, and then the brothers will tell us.